Blog Talk Radio.
Mother Micah, what's going on, brother? How's it going tonight over there at the DMV, my man?
Oh man, Hugo, let me tell you, brother, I am ready to go. There was so much to go on this weekend. I enjoyed myself thoroughly. Still had a good church, still had a great time on Saturday. I didn't have to do nothing. And let me tell you, I'm a very, very busy man. And when it comes to having a weekend or a Saturday in which I don't have to do anything, I'm trying to tell you, I had a good time with that. Plus, there were still some good things. And Hugo, we cannot forget our wonderful particulars, 347-637-3859. Is that number to call? Tell us, man. Tell us. Did you hear about the $495 pair of shoes? Did you hear about
what?
Big baller brand, sir.
We got to talk about it. 347-637-3859 is the number to call. Once again, at the Soul and Sport, make sure that when we get on the switchboard, you make sure you hit that one button. Well, really quick, Micah, really quick. Something, man, $495 shoes? Are you kidding me, bro? Like, not even Jordans cost that much, man. Like, will you pay $495 for a kid that isn't even proven in the NBA? I don't know, Micah. I won't ever spend $500. Would you?
I don't know, man. I can't wait to talk about that because trust me when I tell you, I got a lot to say. Because in the middle of the actual NBA playoffs, he figured out a way to insert himself once again in a conversation that actually had nothing to do with him. So there's something.
No, Micah, I'm sorry to cut you off. It's not even about not LeVar, his kid. In fact, you know what? Because I'll be honest with you, man. LeVar is the one that is all on the newspapers, right? At the end of the day, it's LeVar. Like, LeVar was the one that put the $495 on them shoes, man. Like, it's not even Lonzo. It was LeVar. Like, what's up with that, man? Honestly, talk to me, man. If you guys want to talk about the shoes, 347-637-3859, and make sure you hit the number one button because Micah got you guys. But anyway, Micah, like, real talk, man. I'll be honest with you, man. I feel bad for Lonzo, man. I think Lonzo is only there because his dad is telling him to be there. But at the end of the day, it's all LeVar, my man.
I will have to go ahead and I say I feel sorry for Alonzo. Alonzo is his own talented young man and individual, and if he didn't have the NBA skills to be able to do an effective job, I don't think LeBron would have a lot of credibility to stand on. You know, and of course he's putting a little bit more eyeballs on his son. But let's look at it. Let's look at it in a logical standpoint, and we I want to get to that later because you know it's LeVar Ball, and everyone talks about him, and the only other person who smiles when you say his name is Draymond Green. So you know the Ball case, the case of the big ball of brand. I want to get into it, Hugo, but man, we have some great playoff games.
They're more important than that, man. Micah, let's get into the real topics at hand. We got the NBA playoffs. You got LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers, 8 games straight to win. Let's be honest. The first team in NBA history to go 4-0 on the previous playoffs in the world. Because I could tell you something about my sport, but at the end of the day, listen, LeBron is LeBron, my man. And he took the Cleveland Cavaliers 8-0. Let's be honest, 8-0. Are they the best team in the NBA right now, Micah?
I'm sorry, but LeBron James' team ain't filled with two NBA reigning MVP, reigning unanimous MVP at the time, two-time MVP, and another MVP where he made it that his mom was a real MVP. 3 MVPs on one team, a definite all-star, say Klay Thompson, and a definite, as much as I hate him, a definite good fitting piece that can play a solid 2-5 position when needed and can guard some big men, have proven that he can guard some big men, and kind of rattle their cage a little bit, be that disruptor, and Draymond Green. You got that four and you're starting, and you still have a good quality player like Andre Iguodala. You still have Sean Livingston, who contributes greatly to their team. They're starting to find some other key components with their bench players. And they're doing all this for the second time. The second time without their actual head coach. I'm sorry, but by far, the Golden State Warriors are probably the number one team in the NBA. I would probably put Cleveland at 2 as the second best team in the NBA currently right now. And this is not just about records and stuff like that. It's about the makeup of each team and the games that they play. These two teams are starting to come into their own. And let's talk about, especially you talk about what happened over the weekend between Utah and the Golden State. If you watch that game, Steph Curry did what he did in the playoffs last year. He disappeared for a little bit. Klay Thompson didn't have a good night. Draymond Green, who was shooting the lights out for the first few games of the two series, especially for their first series against Portland, and started to shoot the lights out at the beginning of this series against Utah, didn't come up big as far as points were concerned in this particular game. However, who was the guy out of the four that stepped up when it counted the most? It was Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, who I will always forever say, as a man, he made one of the weakest decisions I've ever seen a man make. As a basketball player, it's one of the best decisions he could ever make as a basketball player. And proof positive, my thoughts about that move was when the other three guys can't show up, he will always show up because he's always efficient. When was the last time you see Kevin Durant really score a low amount of, like, below 20 points? When have you seen the last time Kevin Durant score below 20 points?
It's been a minute.
Because Kevin Durant as a scorer is one, even when he was playing with chaotic Russell Westbrook, as a scorer, he was still very, very efficient. And the one area in which we didn't trust him in, he came up big in this one, but granted it was against Utah, was in the fourth quarter of this game, of his last game. So I have to say, and it's just, you know, LeBron fanboys can go ahead and get mad at me, but I'm telling you the truth. This is factual stuff. It's actual evidence that shows. And even myself, with even a sliver of the knowledge that our boy Wally has, can see that Golden State Warriors is a team above anybody else. So is Cleveland when it comes to a lot of different aspects they do. And if you really look at what's going on in the basketball game today, this year there's only really 4 teams that could have even come close to legitimately winning an NBA championship this year. And honestly, you have Golden State, Houston, and San Antonio, not necessarily in that order, but those three, and then you have Cleveland for the East. That's it. Who legitimately could you say in the Eastern Conference could stack up against any of the top three teams in the West at the moment?
Cleveland.
And exactly.
Because they got
That's the only
LeBron
one.
James. They got LeBron
exactly.
James. That's it. So
even DeMar DeRozan, even DeMar DeRozan, which is the weirdest thing I ever heard in my life from another opposing player, even DeMar DeRozan said, well, if we had LeBron on our team, we would have won too.
So here's my question. Golden State, Cleveland, NBA Finals, Michael. I know that we don't like to predict that much in the future, but let's be honest. At the end of the day, it's going to be Golden State and Cleveland. Let's be honest. Who do you have in a seven-game series? Do you have Steph Curry? Kevin Durant? Klay Thompson? Or do you have LeBron James? Do you have Kevin Love? And do you have Kyrie Irving? Your thoughts, Micah, because I'll have Golden State. Actually, and let's be honest, tonight, if Golden State beats Utah, they'll do the same exact thing that Cleveland just did last night. So, who do you got?
All right. So, it's very, very simple what's going to go happen in this series. Okay? You got four guys who can bury you with three-pointers, scoring, and defense. Three-pointers, scoring, and defense. And that's Golden State. You have another team who's a little bit older, a little bit slower. They can shoot some threes, and they can play some defense. And the only different factor is that you got a guy in LeBron James who can probably theoretically be in the head of a Steph Curry and be in the head of a Kevin Durant. We know many times people say that Kevin Durant is actually pretty afraid of LeBron James, or maybe he's a little starstruck when he plays him. But a team as structured as the Cavs are, as dangerous as Kyrie Irving is, and as the killer mentality that he can have at the right time, LeBron James is going to have a triple-double for them to even be competitive. And Kyrie Irving is going to have to come up big at all times. And the last piece of that puzzle is going to have to be Kevin Love. Kevin Love cannot have games where he disappears. He has to have some sort of game where he's impactful. He has to be impactful on the glass. He has to be impactful with at least dagger three-pointers. Because you can score 6 points. You can score like 6 points in the game. You can score 12 points in the game. You can score 15 points in the game. But it may not be the point total that you have. It's a matter of when those points happen. So, for example, if you watch the Houston and San Antonio game, there were a couple of three-pointers made by Anderson and Trevor Ariza, but those three-pointers weren't just idle three-pointers. They were three-pointers that were made in a special point of time in the game where it shifted momentum and it changed momentum. Eventually, of course, Houston would go on to win their particular game against San Antonio, and I think that's going to be a seven-game series as well. But in a seven-game series, it's already a foregone conclusion that we're looking at Golden State and that we're looking at Cleveland in the finals. Cleveland, in my opinion, does not have enough defense to stop all four major threats. And, yes, as much as I hate the guy, as much as I think he's actually trash, and much as I think he benefits from everybody else on that team being so good at shooting, I honestly believe that Draymond Green is another one of those integral threats that you have to now stop and account for. He improved his three-point shooting. You've seen that in these first two playoff series. So he's improved his three-point shooting. He may not go cold. He may not go cold like that again for a long time. He may be fire hot when he comes to playing the Cavs. That's Draymond Green. We already know that Kevin Durant's going to be consistent. We know Klay Thompson doesn't disappear for long stretches, and we already know that Steph Curry, even though he may disappear for long stretches, he has enough people helping him out on the back end in that bench and around him that he can still be protected, and he can at least drop 15, and he'll still contribute to the team. I don't think that a team that can play to the level of offense as Golden State, combined with the defense that they can play with, to force a guy like LeBron James to either man up and drive to the hole or play perimeter shooting, he has to choose one or the other. And if he starts driving to the hole, I don't care how long, pause, how long Golden State's defenders are, they're going to be in foul trouble. Cavs going to have an advantage in that area. I can see the series going 6 games. I don't see a 7-game series. And I see this series going 4-2 Golden State's way if Golden State meets the Cavs. And that's only because I don't think the Cavs can stop them. You can only stop but so much. You can only do but so much against offensive juggernauts. Now, we already understand that defense wins championships. Well, guess what? Golden State's one of the top defensive teams in the league, combined with the fact that they can still probably drop 120 on you in this week. So, Hugo, I'm sorry. If anybody is rooting for the Cavs, I will always root for the Cavs because I just don't like people who I don't like the people who just automatically dub Steph Curry as the greatest of all time, and the brother had like 2 good seasons where he exploded for 3-pointers. So that's not really that special to me. But Hugo, I gotta ask, man, it's gotta be said. What can we possibly expect other than Golden State winning the rubber match between them? And in fact, this is very special. This is a very special thing too, Hugo. The specialness of this matchup is that as much as we've seen, and I can't wait for Mike Knox to come on because he saw this live in person. He saw Bird versus Magic. He saw their battles. For as many times they met in the finals, they never met 3 straight years in a row. They never met 3 straight years in a row. It's a historical fact. You know, I would have loved to see and seen the history behind that. I don't think Jordan met any of his opponents 3 straight years in a row either, and I believe that was the same thing with the Lakers. So this is a very unique time that we are in as basketball fans, as sports fans, where we can see a championship series be played several times between the same two teams. Some people think it's boring or whatever have you, but I think it's a testament to the greatness of the two individual teams more so than the down of the league. That's just where I am with that, Hugo. So I believe that's all we need to talk about when it comes to that, because there's nothing else. There's nothing else for at this point for Cleveland and Golden State to prove when it comes to what they do on the basketball court, when it comes to what they have shown. One team won 73 games last year. The other team beat that 73-win team in the most devastating fashion that you could ever beat another team. You also have the ability of one LeBron James who's playing in a way that reflects someone who actually doesn't think they have anything left to prove. He's not being lazy with his thought process, but when people talk about LeBron James being that guy who's acting like he has nothing left to prove, if you saw the way he approached the series against Toronto, he purposely – I know what that sounds like, but he was putting the nail in the coffin every single game. He was crushing them every single game, and I'm sorry, the last time I saw a guy start to crush somebody like that, they won a lot of games. But I'm sorry, Hugo, 4-2, Golden State has this series. It's too much defensively, too much offensively. Cleveland doesn't have enough to beat them back, man. 4-2. 4-2, bro.
Micah, let's get another person on the line, if you don't mind. His name is Tom. He's called here beforehand with the NFL drop, but he wants to talk about NBA playoffs. What's going on, Tom? Welcome to the program, my man. What do you got to say about the NBA playoffs, my man? Golden State, LeBron James, what do you got, my man?
Man, I think that's a pretty spot-on call. I mean, I would say LeBron, just because he is the one player above everyone else that if he can carry a team to beat a team that has significantly more talent than his, then it's possible. I guess Cleveland has the biggest variance possible in the sense that any given night, Kyrie Irving can be the best scorer on the court. LeBron James probably will be the best player on the court. But the issue is just I feel like in a real series, Kevin Love is going to be what hurts Cleveland the most here, just in the sense that you can't play him at center. And if you play him at power forward, Durant's just going to exploit him. That's like the exact matchup you don't want to have. So in order for Cleveland to actually match up with Golden State, they're going to have to pull at least one of their best 3 players off of the court. I'm not saying it's not possible, but just given the fact that the Cavs barely beat the Warriors last year with a, I would say, a slightly hurt Curry and Draymond Green out for one of those games, don't see how they beat Golden State this year with a LeBron that's a year older and Golden State adding Kevin Durant. I mean, look, last year I would have told you that Golden State was going to crush the Cavs and the Cavs beat them, but I just don't see it happening again. I think the one surprise for me this playoffs is James Harden and the Rockets, right? I mean, D'Antoni, a guy who's just been maligned for years, right? I mean, ever since he went from the Suns to the Knicks to the Lakers, like, I mean, the guy was basically thrown out of basketball.
Yeah, because he doesn't know how to coach defense. When was the last time you've seen
Mike Stone's team
play real defense? This is the first time I've seen a Mike D'Antoni team. It's just me. I can only talk for me and what I've seen in basketball. The first time I've seen Mike D'Antoni's name on a team that actually plays good defense. Good enough to stop.
Houston doesn't really play good defense, but I think what you're seeing from the Rockets, right, and what you're seeing from D'Antoni, right, is that not everyone needs to be Greg Popovich or Phil Jackson, right? Like, we live in this world where we want everyone to be the absolute elite, and guess what? People are not. That's the real world, right? What you're seeing from D'Antoni is what his real brilliance is and what he's always been good at is if you give him a star or, you know, and then – he's really amazing at lifting up the pieces around that star into being something more than they are. I mean, like, look at this Houston Rockets team. It's garbage. I mean, Ryan Anderson was on the Pelicans last year. Eric Gordon was on the Pelicans last year. Like, the Pelicans were not good.
All right.
And
Tom,
he's – yeah.
Let me ask you a question. So, D'Antoni's a genius, right? Why couldn't
he
take the Lakers?
No, listen.
Why couldn't he take the Lakers to the next step with perhaps the greatest player on the planet, known to land, Kobe Bryant? Why couldn't he do that?
Come on. Don't come over here and try to insult that man's intelligence. You know, Devin Webb, Kobe Bryant was Obi Bryant at that point in time.
Yeah.
Micah.
Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say is a legitimate answer to that. So there's two ends to it, right? I think the one big thing that you see from that is that D'Antoni's biggest fault has always been that he knows how to coach a single system, and if you give him the wrong personnel for that system, it doesn't work. But that doesn't mean he's a bad coach. It just means you have to fit players around him, and he should never be a GM. What I will say is this, is that Nash was basically done at that point. He couldn't play. Dwight Howard was already a shell of his former self, as we've seen him be the last 5 to 6 years. Kobe was probably in his last season. He was past his prime for sure, and he was in his last season where you could still consider him Kobe. And then Pau Gasol, I mean, the one interesting thing I'll say about that, right, is that what is the one thing that everyone trashed D'Antoni for so hard was that he was having Pau Gasol stand on the wing and shoot threes. And so, while, yes, it was unbelievably stupid in my mind to have Pau Gasol stand on the wing and shoot threes because Pau Gasol was still relatively in his prime at that point. It didn't make sense. But think about it now. I mean, like, every power forward in the league is expected to shoot threes, right? So, even at that point, with a personnel that didn't fit what he was doing, he was still innovating in a way that is – D'Antoni deserves a lot of credit. I agree with you. I don't think he's a genius because that term's thrown around a lot. But the guy's a smart basketball coach that does know how to lift personnel. He just doesn't know how to take personnel that doesn't really fit in what he's trying to do and make that work. But – To say, I mean, look, the Rockets are not going to win the title, but if you told me that the Rockets were going to be this good and probably take the San Antonio Spurs to 7 games in the playoffs, like, I mean, after adding Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon as their two major additions, like, come on. I mean, you got to give the guys some credit here.
Micah?
That's what I believe. So, by the way, 347-637-3859 is the number to call. You go ahead and press that one button, and we'll go ahead and have a conversation with you like we're having with Tom. By the way, Tom, that was a fantastic answer for this.
I'm not going to stand here and listen
Baloney.
He won't.
This nonsense.
He doesn't stand for baloney.
That nonsense. That nonsensical question that you was just asked by Hugo. I couldn't even take a old Lippin gift case, get volume shooter, and Kobe Bryant a half broken back. Yeah, no, no, I know he answered. I know he answered me. He answered it eloquently, like the brother can be. The brother can be on a major, network with that answer, because that takes logic. No, can I take logic and good common sense to know that? Okay, well, the one difference that D'Antoni is not considered an elite coach is because, well, he just said it. He's not an elite coach because he can't take anybody and run that system. It has to be the right kind of personnel. So. Good coaches, in my opinion, not can just run their system, but they can also run their system with anybody. And, you know, but at the same time, good coaches also want their kind of people inside their system so that system always works. If we go to football, when's the last time you got a guy who was not necessarily a Bill Belichick type of system guy in Bill Belichick's system? The first one I can only think of was what, Randy Moss? That was the last time a guy who may not have been a Bill Belichick guy from as far as the mentality and the things the Patriots offense and defense does that was on their team, and you didn't hear anything from him. I think the other one was Chad Johnson a Patriot for like 2 seconds? I'm trying to remember. I don't think that worked out. Yeah, and I don't think that worked out, Tom. But I'm with you. I see those parallels in which that happened. But let me ask you this. Between the Houston Rockets and the Spurs series and the Washington Wizards and the Boston Celtics series, which one has caught your attention the most? Because I'm not worried about what Cleveland was playing, and I'm not worried about Golden State was playing. Because if one of the teams they play against actually won a game, I would be interested. But since they never won a game, and I don't think Utah is going to win game four, I think they're going to get swept too, I'm only concerned about a series that are competitive. Right now, I believe both series are tied 2-2. And now we have some competition going on. So, in the coming few days, which series most excites you? Does it excite you that maybe we actually have a team that can challenge Cleveland, or does it excite you more that maybe Golden State could actually have to try to actually play real minutes with their starters to actually, you know, make some things look similar so that they can actually go somewhere?
I would say, on paper, the Spurs-Rockets intrigues me more, but what we're seeing play out is that when the Rockets hit 25 threes in a game, they kill the Spurs, and when they don't, they lose to the Spurs. So it's like, that's not the most interesting version of basketball. You're basically like, will Houston win a three-point shootout tonight, or will they lose? Because that's essentially what they're attempting to do. So I actually think Washington series is more interesting. One, just because I think John Wall is just one of the most criminally underrated players in the league. Like, he doesn't really have that great of a team around him. I mean, Beal's been a lot better this year, but I love Wall. I just love to watch him play. And then I think Boston, and as a Lakers fan, this kills me, but, like, the way Boston has rebuilt their team is so incredible. To be rebuilding your team at the same time that you're about to get probably two more top three draft picks in a row while still having the cap space to go out and sign another maximum guy, I mean – it's impressive. I love seeing Isaiah Thomas do what he does. I would not want to be the next team that has to hand him his 5-year or 4-year, $150 million contract. I'll say that. But I love just watching that guy play. So I think Wizards Celtics, even though I think they're playing for the right to get killed by the Cavs, is a fun series to watch just because it's a lot of players that don't get as much press as they normally should. And it's nice to see them take center stage. I think Houston-San Antonio has the potential to be a much better series just because I think it's just a really interesting dynamic between two coaches who, I mean, it's cool, right? Because, I mean, you remember when Pop and D'Antoni were battling out with the Suns and the Spurs.
Yeah.
Like 12 years ago? And you're basically looking at the same exact thing. The Spurs are a much more disciplined, defensive, better thought out, better coached team. But if the Rockets hit 25 three-pointers, they're going to win. So it's almost the same exact thing 12 years later, and it's kind of cool to see it again, I guess.
Tom, really quick. Actually, we're against the break. Make sure you call in 347-637-3859 is the number to call. Make sure you hit the number one button. Me and Mike are on the switchboard. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We're going to talk – actually, I'm glad that you brought that up. We're going to talk Celtics. We're going to talk Wizards coming back on the Solon Sports.
Fox Sports, 1340 AM, 96.9 FM. We'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports, 1340.
If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We've brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Buying or selling a home or business is a monumental endeavor. Old Dominion Title Company will provide the professional and courteous service you deserve during this complex transaction. Timely preparation of title documents, award-winning customer service, competitive pricing. All you need to do is sign on a dotted line. Get a free no-obligation quote by calling 804-526-8000 or visit Old Dominion Title and Escrow at 2425 Boulevard, Suite 5 in Colonial Heights. Old Dominion Title and Escrow, earning your business through excellence in service.
Holmes Auto Center takes a special time to salute the Charles City men and women in uniform that have answered the call for our freedoms. Give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace around the world. That's from Holmes Auto Center, where service is more than a word. It's a fact backed by the right know-how and experience proven by customers who wouldn't trust their work to anyone but Holmes Auto Center at 7500 Lot Carey Road in Charles City, saying USA all the way.
Lowest Price Auto Glass in Prince George reminds listeners military involvement should be the last resort of any nation. We are fortunate that when necessary, we have one of the strongest military forces in existence. The individuals who make up our military deserve our respect and support, and we salute them. This message from Lowest Price Auto Glass at 40807 Puddle Dock Road in Prince George. Stop in or call for any of your auto glass needs at 862-2886 on the air because they care. Rosa's Italian Restaurante Pizzeria, where the taste of Mama Rosa's special sauces and freshly made pizza dough and dinner breads merge to bring you Italian cuisine in the atmosphere of Italy. There is simply no comparison. Bring the kids to climb the steps to watch as our cooks spin the pizza in the air before cooking your pizza in our flaming hot pizza oven. Alcoholic beverages such as beer, wine, and mixed drinks also available to enhance your experience of our real Italian tradition. Wednesday through Friday, buffets from 11 to 2 p.m., or our breakfast buffet Sundays from 9 to 2 p.m. Along with our patio seating and banquet facilities and our pickup window, make Rosa's Italian Restaurante Pizzeria, located at Colonial Corner Shopping Center, 4098 Oaklawn Boulevard in Hopewell, your best choice of Italian cuisine in the area. That Rosa's Italian Restaurante Pizzeria, located at the Colonial Corner Shopping Center in Hopewell. For more information, call 804-458-8744. Call 804-458-8744 today.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
347-637-3859 is the number to call in. Basketball playoffs, 7-game series, something competitive that's not Cavs-based and not Warriors-based. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of your homes. No, not one. The home for your Washington Wizards coverage. And let me tell you about this series that I'm seeing here, the Washington Wizards versus the Boston Celtics. As one of our callers, Tom, was just talking to us about it and how incredible it was to see Boston in the position that they're in. Let me tell you something, guys. I'm not a Washington Wizards homer, okay? I'm not. I have no dog in this fight, in this playoff series at all, okay? I like players. I like what players bring to the table. You know, I love John Wall, love Isaiah Thomas, love LeBron, love Steph, love KD. I love players, and I like to follow them. Let me tell you something about this series. This should have been a sweep. Yeah, I said it. It should have been a sweep. Game four the other night should have been the closeout game for our Washington Wizards. You want to know why it should have been a closeout game, Hugo? It should have been a closeout game because every game in this series, Washington has went on really big runs and had really big leads in all these games. And outside of being at home, I've seen that Boston didn't always have the energy outside of Isaiah Thomas willing them to victory. They didn't really have the energy to contend with the Washington Wizards. And really, we talked about this the other week. We talked about this last week about Markieff Morris and his importance to the Washington Wizards. And I see that Boston doesn't really have an answer for the brother. I mean, you know, he'll miss a shot, he'll put a body on him, things like that. But when they're clicking all cylinders and when John Wall gets his mojo, they can't stop them. I expect the Washington Wizards to finish this series out, to beat the number one seeded Boston Celtics, who is the number one seed by record, but I don't believe was the number one seed by actual virtue of their actual playing ability and their talent level. That's what I feel about the Boston Celtics. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. They are a great team. They're well coached, very well coached. Brad Stevens has put the fundamental spirit of the Lord up in those guys. And Isaiah Thomas is a monster. He is a monster. The under 5 foot, barely 5'5", 5'6". That dude's a monster, okay? And I have high respect for him, and I want to personally laugh in the face of Lottie DeVos for ever letting that man go. So that's how I feel about that, Hugo. Watch the Wizards Boston series, Hugo. Have you been seeing the battles these two guys been having? These two teams, rather.
I can't believe that you're writing off the Boston Celtics after what they did against Dwayne Wade and the Chicago Bulls. I can't
believe that. No, Boston Celtics, but see, the Boston Celtics, the Boston Celtics have shown that when Rajon Rondo was on the floor, they couldn't handle the Bulls. When Rajon Rondo was down on the floor, when they didn't have a floor general to go against, then they were able to win that series. Well, guess what? John Wall ain't getting hurt no time soon, brother. And I ain't putting no jinx or kibosh on him, but John Wall's a floor general. And they're having trouble every game from game one to now to game four, to now to game five when game five goes on. You know, they have been having trouble containing John Wall to a certain extent, and the Wizards have been exploding for huge runs. Now, the first two games, Boston came back, and, you know, that's one of the things the home crowd, home court advantage gives you. But when they went for those runs in the next two games, it didn't hold off. So my question is, once again, really? You think writing off the Celtics? That's how you feel? You think I'm writing them off?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Boston versus Cleveland. And I'll be honest with you, Micah. At the end of the day, listen, Boston did the unthinkable, right? Down 0-2, came back, 4-2 series. It's going to go to 7 games, by the way. Because I'll be honest with you, after what I saw yesterday from the Wizards, at the end of the day, that third quarter run that Washington had was unthinkable. But at the end of the day, I don't know if Washington has it though, Micah. I don't know if they do, my man. And you know what? I'm gonna bring Tom from California one more time because he wanted to talk about the series. Tom, it's a 2-2 series, my man. 2-2 series. I like Boston. He likes Washington. You're a Laker fan. And I know it pains you saying that, but who do you got? I'm just intrigued what you're trying to say in the last segment. But what do you have tonight?
I think it's a tough series to predict. I think the Wizards are the. I think the Wizards have a better chance to win because I think their top two players are better than Boston's top two players at this point in time. I would rather have Wall and Beal than Horford and
really
Thomas.
Cool.
But
if hold on, Tom, if Rajon Rondo would have been for the Celtics because we know he's injured, would have been a squash.
If Rajon Rondo would have been on the Celtics, would it have been a squash? I don't understand this Rajon Rondo thing. The guy literally was like 3 games from being out of the league, in my opinion, before he randomly beat the Celtics twice in the playoffs. I don't like Rondo as a player very much. I think that I don't even know how, like, he can't make sense on any team unless you're literally willing to be like here, play 35 minutes a game and always have the ball and can't shoot and don't make. I mean, look, no, I don't think Rondo would have made this a squash for either side. I didn't even get how the Bulls beat the Celtics twice with Rondo playing well. I think that was just random and kind of an aberration.
That's
but in this series, I think
Rajon Rondo, Rajon is not an aberration. I gotta get this through your head, okay? This is a guy who's talking casual basketball here, and I even seen it. Rajon Rondo may not be the perfect guy when it comes to being a point guard. He's pass first, try to create, get to the hole, doesn't have necessarily good mid-range, definitely don't have a long-range jump shot for anything. The dude got his name claimed the fame by not just playing with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, but he also made sure that as a part of that squad that he led lockdown defense. He did the best he could in lockdown defense, and as well as being a fantastic facilitator to getting guys open. So as a point guard, I wouldn't mind having him on my team. It was just a matter of just everyone has a personality that people just don't feel like dealing with, and he just has that personality that people just don't want to deal with. Now, granted, if I was with the Dallas Mavericks and I was in Sacramento, another place that I didn't want to be, of course I'll have that attitude. I don't want to be in these places. These places stink. Places suck. Granted, Dallas had a little bit more to offer, but come on, outside of no state tax and Dirk Nowitzki, what is it to really do around Dallas? Because, you know, especially because I don't think he was a Cowboys fan, so he can't enjoy himself doing that. All I'm saying, so I see why people knock him. The same reason why people knock Jay Cutler, it's kind of like a thing with personality, and just people aren't drawn to his personality. But Rajon Rondo in the playoffs has produced results, good results.
This is my biggest issue with him, and to an extent, I think you're right. When he was with the Celtics, he played lockdown D. Rajon Rondo is the definition of a player that flips the switch on and off. Right, he flips it on and he flips it off. But the issue is when you're 22 and 23 years old, it's pretty easy to flip the switch on and off, right? As you get older, if you're not preparing yourself to always have the switch on, it becomes much, much, much harder to flip it on. So the biggest issue with Rondo is that when he tried to flip the switch on, now it's only working 20% of the time, 25% of the time. So sure, maybe there were a couple games in that Bulls series where he played fantastic, but when you have that mentality as a player that Rajon Rondo has, it just doesn't work when you get to his age, and it doesn't work when you get to teams that don't have Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett surrounding you to constantly say, hey, what the, you know, blank, play harder right now, right? Like when Rajon Rondo is asked to be a leader on a team and he needs to hype himself up, the selective nature that he does in when he's going to try and play defense and when he's not, eventually, you know, your body gets used to not doing something so hard, and then you can't flip it on. So I agree. At one point, Rondo was a fantastic player, but the game passed him by a little bit, right? The game in 2009, when 2008, 2007, 2009, when he was 2010 even, when he was like really at his peak, you know, a point guard was not asked to do what a point guard is asked to do now. And at this point, where you can make an argument, I think a pretty easy one, that this is the golden era of point guards in the NBA. I'm not saying that the best point guards of all time play in the NBA, but in terms of, like, if you stacked this, the top 15 point guards that play in the NBA now against the top 15 point guards of any era ever before this, you'd have a hard time seeing the depth, and I don't think Rondo falls under there. And I don't know how we got onto this topic, but I don't love Rondo. I think, sure, he has the potential.
Because I'm going to be confusing people with random baloney questions talking about if Rondo was on the team. First of all, it ain't got nothing to do with anything. We talk about Wizards and current Boston Celtics with Isaiah Thomas, who got beat up and cried into the rest of the life. I'm small and I got beat up, so he's probably going to get a lot of calls next game.
Anyway, so to answer the original question, I think that Wall and Beal I like better as their top two than I like Horford and Thomas. The Wizards will go as long as those two take them, because I think you could also make a pretty easy argument that the Boston Celtics have infinitely more depth than the Wizards, but depth doesn't – right? So I'd say Wizards would be my guess, but I don't know.
Okay, well, I mean, sorry about that. Seemed to have a little technical difficulty there. Didn't know what happened. But anyway, so Hugo, that's Tom's point. My point is I had to go with Tom on that one because it just makes most sense for Washington to win this series and to beat Boston because of everything that Washington has to offer. Better stars. I think they also have better impact players. And while, like you said, while Boston does have some good depth and they have good fundamentals and stuff like that, we know what puts people over when it comes to the NBA playoffs, and that's your star. And if your star don't always show up and it's not always consistent, then that person is not going to do well. So while Isaiah Thomas may get more calls because of what he said, because of the things that he said at the press conference last game, the funny part about it is that the fact of the matter is there was only a three-shot differential when it came to free throws between Boston and Washington. So maybe the referees probably ignored it and say, no, we were pretty good in the last game. You're just small. Man up. You know, just learn how to strong up and things like that. Hugo, you sure this is going to go seven games? People are calling it seven games. I think it's going to be six, and I think Washington's going to end it at six.
I think it's going to be seven, Micah. I think it's going to be seven. I'll be honest with you. It's going to be seven. I think they're going to go seven. At the end of the day, whoever faces LeBron James Eastern Conference Finals, it's over. Let's be honest. Like, that's the fate right now, Micah. I mean,
you think that no matter. Even with Kelly Oubre.
Micah, real quick, and that's the next question to you. Let's go to our next segment real quick. Is LeBron James, anyone stop the King besides the Golden State Warriors? Tom, can they stop him or no? Because I'll be
can
honest
anyone
with
in the
man.
East stop him? No.
Maybe
they
can anyone stop LeBron. Can anyone stop LeBron
the
James?
The Golden State Warriors can stop him for sure.
Really?
I mean, okay. Can they? I mean, the question is, will they? I don't know. Can they? Absolutely, they can stop him. Yeah. I mean, or what do you mean? You mean beat the Cavs or stop LeBron from getting stats? No one's going to stop LeBron from getting
stats.
We don't mind because, I mean, if one player on the team is getting their stats, but the rest of the team isn't contributing, then that's the team that's going to lose. We saw James Harden go for 43 points in game three, and their team still lost. Yeah. It didn't matter what he did because no one else was backing him up. You know, as you go to your point, when you brought that up, you know, we talk about how the Wizards all of a sudden got a little tougher, and you know how Kelly Oubre had a little issue, and people were all crying about it and stuff like that. And you know, I would have pushed the guy too. I mean, it was a hard foul. If it was back in the early 90s, he probably would have punched him. But when it comes down to the fact of the matter is this: no one's stopping LeBron James in the East. LeBron James owned the Eastern Conference for the last 10 years. LeBron James has proven that he can take teams that ain't got nobody to the finals. Or Eastern Conference Finals. He's proven that he can take superstars to the Eastern Conference Finals, to championships, and he's proven that he can put a team together the way he wants it, to structure against a team that purposely came together to beat him, because when they won 73 games, they still couldn't finish the job in the championship series. So you got all those things all geared to stop LeBron James. And for me, I don't have to be a LeBron James fanboy to recognize the real situation that's going on here. People are purposely trying to stop him. They're purposely trying to figure out ways to curtail his talent so that the rest of the team has to beat you. And if the rest of the team isn't good enough or don't step up their game with LeBron James as the head of that particular team, then their team will lose. So When it was Spurs Heat 2, when the Spurs got to Miami Heat the second time, they tore through them like a baby through wet paper. You know, they tore through them because they said, okay, what are we good at? What are they good at? Let's go ahead and stop LeBron. Actually, we don't have to stop LeBron. Let him go off. Let's go ahead and curtail Dwayne Wade, who's aging. Let's go ahead and curtail Chris Bosh, who plays kind of soft. Let's go ahead and rough him up a little bit. And let's go ahead and make everybody else around him, Mario Chalmers, for example, try to beat us. And guess what they didn't do? It didn't happen. They won a couple of games, but that was about it. The Spurs destroyed that Miami Heat team. And Pat Riley could say all things that he wanted to. He didn't build a good enough team around him as far as bench players, about other complimentary players to make it happen. They thought they can beat the San Antonio Spurs the way Houston thinks they're going to beat San Antonio Spurs, which is shooting the lights out. But their three-point shooters weren't consistent and weren't enough. And in that sense, we have to acknowledge that LeBron James is great. And it's okay to say that there's some things about him that's better than Michael Jordan.
as a person who grew up and only got into basketball because of Michael Jordan and left basketball because of Michael Jordan, got back into basketball when Michael Jordan came back and left again when Michael Jordan came back, there was only two other guys who made me watch basketball, Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. That's it. I watched primarily for those three stars throughout my time of being a basketball fan. That doesn't mean I was never a Laker fan. I was never a Cleveland or Miami Heat fan. I was always a fan of the player, because that's what the NBA promoted. It promoted the stars more so than the teams. That's their motto that David Stern came up with. And
please,
Hugo, I gotta tell you, Hugo.
Don't be a Miami fan.
You said what?
I said, please don't be a Miami fan, please. I beg you.
I will never be a Miami fan. But I'm just saying, the truth of the matter is, Hugo, is that, you know, as we, especially because we got to touch on what creates legend. Kind of, we opened the show with it, and now is a really good time to get into it. When it comes to Big Baller Brand and LeVar Ball and what he's trying to establish for his children,
right,
for his family, for his brand.
Right.
You know, LeBron James's brand is this. I made a huge mistake that people are going to vilify me for the rest of my life because some of them people can't get over it. I went to a place
but
that won a championship with friends
but
of mine.
But he made up, Micah.
No, but I'm just saying. All I'm saying is he went
he
to a place. A lot of people try to compare Kevin Durant's move because they're trying to be softer on Kevin Durant than LeBron James' move. LeBron James went on TV and dumped his girlfriend on TV. You don't dump your girlfriend on TV. That was wrong. But Kevin Durant was married, had a good thing going, was having kids and everything. Then, like RG3, a thought on Instagram came about, had his attention, and got him distracted for about 2 seconds. He said, you know what, I'm going to go with this thought because, well, she's the hotness and she's faster, so I can go ahead and just go with that. He gave up the keys to everything that he owned and everything that he could establish for himself for a thought that ain't going to give him anything but a cheap thrill. Because I'm sorry, I understand championships are championships, rings are rings. But when Golden State wins their championship, it's going to be the cheapest ring that Kevin Durant ever got, the cheapest. And well, it's the same thing with LeBron James. Nah, sorry. First of all, there wasn't already a 55 to 60-win team established before he got there. Two, when he played Miami, he beat them. He beat Miami before. Dwayne Wade led Miami. He's beaten them before in the playoffs or whatever have you. So he's beaten that team. That team was never a real threat to him. Also, he got with other guys to create a team. That's way different than an already person who's already MVP, who's MVP in his time playing basketball, joining a two-time MVP, the only unanimous MVP, the, you know, current reigning MVP at that time, who was also part of a regular season historical team winning one more game than the Bulls team who actually finished the job. You can't tell me that move is the same. And you don't have to be, once again, I'm just saying, you don't have to be a LeBron fanboy to say and acknowledge this. What teams
right.
have, what people came together to specifically beat Jordan? And how often was it? That they okay, Jordan's
yeah,
too tough.
But it's,
let's do this.
It's a totally different era, though, Micah.
That's what it is. So that's why it's different. But we're so busy trying to compare eras. We're being intellectually. That's the point why we're fans, because we're not intellectually honest. But we cannot just
right.
sit here and pretend that Jordan was the end all be all. That he was just winning championships all day. Jordan could not get past the Bad Boy Pistons. Jordan couldn't get past Boston. Jordan got swept by Boston at minimum twice. He got swept by Boston. When Jordan got help, guess what happened? Because Jordan, going into his peak, had real help. And I know that one, Mike Knox, will be able to express that because it's the truth. That's all. And the truth is that out in this era right now, we're looking at one of the greatest of all time, if not arguably the greatest of all time. And guess what? You can't put greatness in basketball related to championships, because if you do that, then Bill Russell and Phil Jackson are the greatest of all times because they're the one who have the most rings out of anybody. Phil Jackson as a coach,
right, so,
and Bill Russell as a player. So let's
I
go ahead and throw
all
rings
right,
away.
Tom,
what's that, Hugo?
I accept the hop off, guys, but on the LeVar Ball subject, super quick. I think that is the perfect example, and I do have to go after this, of someone who has the right idea starts with the right idea. Hey, I'm going to get outside of the shoe companies dominating everything we do and taking more of the money than they should and blah, 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 blah. And then taking a good base of an idea and executing it in every single possible wrong fashion that he could. I mean, he's
right.
putting his son in a really difficult spot. He's saying, like, no matter what the original concept or idea was, which, like I said, I don't think was wrong. I think what his original concept was is not a bad idea. It's very similar to Jay-Z starting his – it's very similar to a musician saying, I'm not going to sign with a label. I'm not against what the idea is. But the way he is executing it is the definition of shooting yourself in the foot. If that guy
right.
had calmly come out and said – and
right.
if he'd calmly come out and said – here's why I'm not going to have my son sign with a brand. Here's why I think brands are wrong and why we need to start changing this. But he is coming out and just, like, being so aggressive and over the top. And his son is just a good college basketball player. We have no idea what he's going to be yet. So he doesn't really have any leverage. He's just doing a lot of things wrong, and I wish he wouldn't because I'd like
the concept of what it is. Hold on now. It's one of those things we have to be honest. You may not think he has the leverage, but he actually does. When the cameras went on him and media members started talking about him, all the leverage went his way, because we live in an era now where all kinds of publicity is publicity, period. And he can convince people who are not toting the party line, so to speak, of the Nike, of the Adidas and things like that. He can convince people, say, hey, you know, you have disposable income. Why don't you purchase these shoes? Why don't you go ahead and purchase this brand of clothing? Because you know what? This is the brand of clothing that's made for people who are ballers in their own mind. It's made for people who are ready to take things. And let me tell you something, Hugo and Tom. Well, you know, and I can't wait to hear Mike Knox thoughts about this. When it comes to what LeVar Ball has done, he has people in major sports networks talking about him because sports networks need and want something to talk about. Because they need and want something to talk about, what's easier than a guy who comes on the scene, whose son shows that he has some pretty good NBA talent level, he has a fantastic talent level, he has some, he looks like that he projects to be a very good point guard in the league. And he gets in front of all of that, says the most outlandish things on purpose, does all the things that people think is wrong, but we keep on talking about it. And the reason
I gotta go. I'm going to say this really quick. This is my closing point. I agree with you that publicity, yes, all of it is good to an extent. But how do you think that Donald Trump would do right now if he attempted to sell sneakers? And I think that basically that's what you're seeing here. I wouldn't buy a Donald Trump sneaker if you had a gun to my head and what I'm just like, it's not super dissimilar here. And so that's my only point, is that all publicity, yes, it's not bad, but it's much more similar to that.
My counter to that, Hugo, is simply this. Here's my counter. There's 60 plus million people that voted for the Donald. So if he sold a brand of clothing line, then those people will still support him because they supported him in the presidency. Just like those people who want to support LeVar Ball anyway are going to support him. A $500 shoe isn't made for the common person. Just like the $200 Michael Jordan shoes.
Dude, I would never spend more than $60, Michael.
Me neither. But
anyway,
Hugo. Who is it? Is he
on? Hey guys, what's going on?
Mike,
what's up, Tom?
Go for it.
Hey. By the way, there's
a
CEO.
Plan. What's going on, Mike?
The Knox has returned. Listen, guys, I've been listening the whole gosh darn show. First of all, Tom, I think Tom left. If Tom's listening, Tom, listen. Anybody with the name James with LeBron in front of it has a chance against anybody. So I think, honestly, y'all forgetting one cog to the whole thing. And that's a guy by the name of what we used to call him in Chicago, Hot Sauce, and that's Kyle Korver. That's also Channing Frye. Cleveland has more than what people think. I think the perception is that Cleveland did so bad during the season and their turmoil and trying to get things right that people didn't see exactly what good that Cleveland does have to offer. I'm not saying – I'm not putting nothing past Golden State. That may be some also some parts. I mean, this is the show for your favorite fan, you know, and I'm your favorite fan. Everybody's fan is a little bit – they got some hate inside of them. And trust me, I hate a lot on both these teams, okay? But Golden State, as good as they are, this is going seven because both teams are stacked. But I think at the end of the day, we're looking at one of the players who belongs in the Mount Rushmore for greatest of all time, and that's LeBron James. If anybody can do it, if he did it last year, I think Tom said earlier in the show, with a half-injured Kyrie Irving and a not there mentally all the way Kevin Love, and now they're all on full cylinders. You got they didn't have a team last year, and they beat these guys. You got J.R. Smith back. You got Iman Shumpert back. This bench is better. Cleveland is not to be reckoned with, and I think people are slightly underestimating it because they hate LeBron James so
much.
Thank you,
Mike.
Now, with that,
I believe that.
Now, also, this whole Boston series, but I will say this too, though. I think that whoever in the conference finals, they don't sweep their way to the finals, okay? I think Cleveland will beat Washington if Washington goes and about five or six, and the same thing for Golden State playing whoever they will play, whether that's Houston shooting 25 threes a game or San Antonio. I don't think they sweep their way to the finals. And, I mean, I know, you know, the four-letter has this stat saying, or this saying when you're watching the four-letter, our stat guys is better than yours. I don't know where this stat guy came from, but LeBron James is not the first player to go 8-0 through the playoffs. Did anybody forget what the guys by the name of Shaq and Kobe did, where they didn't lose a game at all until the NBA Finals, where they lost to Allen Iverson in game one? Quickly, how people forget that. No one beat those guys until the NBA Finals when Allen Iverson stepped over to Ron Lue.
Thank you.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. Tyronn Lue, before helping LeBron win their first championship in Cleveland, he was the guy who Allen Iverson stepped over.
I'm just saying. So, but other than that, and back to this big baller brand, because this has been bothering me literally all week, from arguing with program director Glenn Thomas, from arguing with Champ Creed, the champ to the stars, okay? Listen, let me just put this perspective, and I like the way Micah said something earlier, so I'm going to take a page out of Micah's book and act I'm going to steal it, so it's not going to be his anymore, it's going to be mine. And that's, as a man, I respect LeVar Ball for what he's trying to accomplish. But as someone in the sports business, I've got to call him an idiot, okay? And I'm going to tell you why I respect him first before I tell you why I think he's an idiot. I respect him because if someone needs to make a name for themselves, he's out there doing a damn good job. He is the Vince McMahon of his sons right now, and he's putting his sons over more than they probably should be over. And how else do you get somebody over that may not should be over? You have a mouthpiece. He is the Jimmy Hart of the Ball family. He is the Bobby Heenan of the Ball family. I'm sorry, I got to go a little step higher. He is the voice of the voiceless. And last time I checked, Lamar Ball, he's pretty voiceless, right? He's meek,
okay.
He's humble, he looks like he doesn't have a clue.
Very voiceless.
So his dad is the voice of the voiceless for him. He's the Paul Heyman of
the family.
He is the voice of the voices, which is his kids. All right, now that I say I respect that part of him, right? Because you got to respect his hustle. I can't. You'll be a fool not to respect his hustle. Outside of the HUSTLER part, because I learned that from Ice-T. It was a song he had, you know, back in the day. Anyway, okay, HUSTSER. Okay, besides that part, everything else he does is completely moronic. You heard his thing on First Take, but he says, one-on-one, I'm undefeated. Okay,
he got a couple
of screws loose. I think cocaine's a hell of a drug when it comes to LeVar Ball. And this shoe. Now, if that had said this shoe was priced at $495, but $150 of it was going to proceeds to help kids who couldn't afford shoes or whatever the heck the money was going to, I would go, you know what? Not a bad thing. Right? And then to those who said if you put a Jordan sign on it or a Nike sign on it or an Adidas sign on there, nobody would complain. Yeah, we would.
Mike.
Because his shoes should not cost that much money. Okay? That's the problem with the shoe, is that the shoe is completely overpriced for all the people that are buying it.
No.
Those who are
all right,
buying
Mike.
It, big. Don't put me on pause yet. Don't put me on pause yet. I heard y'all for 80 minutes. Let me
get
this out.
I'm almost done.
I'm almost done. Okay.
I'm joking, man.
For those who are saying that the shoes are selling, they're not selling. Everybody saying, "Oh,
they're not
going to
sell."
They're not going to sell. You know how much money that he had to put out to get the shoe made? He doesn't even get 50% of distribution. He's there in the red right now. That's why the shoes are so high. So do me a favor, before you talk about me, before you put me on Facebook, before you put me on Twitter, before you inbox me and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about and say stuff to me like, where's your facts?
Mike.
Where's your facts?
Mike.
I don't need facts.
Mike.
You know what I don't need facts for? Because I know what
Mike,
I'm doing.
You're crazy,
I built
man.
This thing. That's who. Who
okay.
put it together?
Listen.
That's who.
Mike.
I'm
real
done.
Quick.
I'm
okay.
done.
I'm
I understand
done.
You. I know. Rent over. Hashtag rent over from Mike Knox. Can we talk about more about money? Do you mind if we talk more about money?
Money.
Please?
Money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
You ready?
What,
you're ready? Yeah, yeah. You already know. Here comes the money. Here comes the money. By the way, I don't have the Shame and Mang song. But, Mike, let's talk about money. Golovkin.
Okay.
Canelo. September 16th, this is the money maker. Is this the money maker, Mike?
Only,
and I want to. Hold on, Mike. Let me talk real quick, because you know, I am the Canelo aficionado, and you know that I love Canelo. I want to hear your story before I go in on this fight, Mike, because you know I'm going in, my man. You already know, Mike.
Here's my thing. Before we talk about September 16th, right? Because
we
got to
talk about the
fight
last night, by the way.
It's the biggest fight in boxing to me, and this is just my opinion, only because two other fights haven't been signed. That's one, Conor McGregor versus the best in the world, the best there is, and the money team's own, Floyd Money Mayweather. So that's first
right.
and foremost. Second,
right.
I still think, and this is just me, this is – I am probably the minority when I say this. Matter of fact, I know I'm the minority when I say this. I still think Joshua versus friend of program Deontay Wilder would be a
really?
Good fight, because to me, it always started with before you start moaning and groaning like you have in relations. Boxing has always been and will always be led by, this even goes for UFC and you know it, heavyweight fighters. Okay,
amen.
If heavyweight
whoa, whoa,
boxing,
hold on, hold on.
Heavyweight
fighters in the UFC. Get out of here. Who? Cain Velasquez? Brock Lesnar? Get out of here, man.
And before Brock Lesnar won the heavyweight title, who was heavyweight champion?
Randy Couture, right?
Frank Mir.
Randy Couture.
Randy Couture.
My point is this, okay? Just like you don't like Mighty Mouse because you say they're too small, you like bigger guys
yeah,
that
too
punch
small.
With more power. Okay, all right, that's my point I'm making here. You just helped me make my point, make it even clearer. And again, this is my opinion. This isn't fact. So people stop acting like my opinion comes off as fact when I clearly say it's my opinion. Okay? To me, if that fight was signed between Anthony Joshua, and of course I'm going to plug the show, friend of program of the Soul and Sports, because this is the show, the pros and icons. What's going on out there, King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter? Holding us down. Okay, I would think that would be a bigger, better fight to me because I think heavyweight boxing has always been the backbone of professional sports. Now, with that being said, I will say this much. I am way more excited and will pay for this fight before I would ever pay for Ward Kovalev 2. I didn't think the first fight was as good as everybody says it is. So, yes, this is, again, because Mayweather and Conor McGregor – we don't know if that's ever going to happen. It's like Manny Pacquiao and Money Mayweather all over
it's
again,
happen.
Right? So we don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is what you just said, September 16th. Cannot wait for it. I'm excited for it. I'm finally ready for someone to prove that Triple G is a overrated steroid-induced freak that will lose to Sal Canelo Alvarez, the best fighter not named Mayweather and Terrence Crawford.
Overrated. Hold on, Mike.
Hold on. Who do you say was overrated? Canelo
I'm agreeing, Mike. I'm agreeing with you about Triple G.
Mike is saying he's overrated.
Okay.
I'm agreeing with you about Triple G.
He's agreeing with me about Triple G. I think Triple G. Here's my thing about fighters like Triple G, and even to this argument, it's going to even spill it out for Canelo, but it really spills it out for Chavez Jr. I don't like fighters that I've never heard of that all of a sudden you hear about them when they're 30-0 and 30 knockouts. At least I've seen the upcoming of Sal Canelo Alvarez. All of a sudden, no one heard of Triple G 2 years ago, 3 years ago. All of a sudden, here comes this little Ukrainian guy, okay, with this power out of nowhere. And it's just me. I'm a product of the 80s. I remember Rocky IV, okay? I will always
Mike Knox actually said something that was actually factual when it came to the heavyweights being the backbone of the sport of boxing in the UFC. Now, here's why it's 10 factual.
10 years ago, right?
Okay? Wait for it. But it's true.
Micah.
It's factual. I have facts.
Let's see his facts.
Before Brock Lesnar, right? Before Brock Lesnar got that championship, can you remember the last time any kind of MMA fighter got at least, because Ronda Rousey, when he has seen this dollar sign, had it not been for Brock Lesnar coming in
demanding at least
high seven figures, to in comparison to what UFC buyout rate was. And did he or did he not break record at his particular event, in which brought more crossover appeal to everybody else? And let me tell you, you have that, and when's the last time you saw boxing at its highlight, at its heyday? Last time I checked, when I was watching boxing, and I actually took it serious for 2 seconds, I was watching one Lennox Lewis being on top of the world, and I was enjoying some of his fights, especially when he got into the first Klitschko. And not saying that Mayweather doesn't draw. We know that Mayweather draws. He's one of the hardest promoting boxers out there for his own brand. When Oscar De La Hoya is one of the promoters for his brand too. They're not heavyweights though. So outside of what Floyd Mayweather does, Floyd Mayweather is an anomaly. Floyd Mayweather is an outlier. Normally, heavyweights are the draw. Normally, heavyweights are the big draw.
Here comes Hugo.
You ready for this one stat? Because we got 18 minutes left on the show, and we got to go to wrestling.
Drop it down for him. Drop it high.
I'm going to tell you right now, Micah.
Tell me why.
All right?
Tell Micah why, not me.
2,000.
2,000.
400. 457 days with 16 consecutive 10 title defenses. In the middleweight division.
I'm sorry.
Mighty Mouse beat the record. No, he has not.
That's wrong.
He beat the record. Listen, I'm not going to tell you.
I'm not going to tell you. You have a computer in front of you. Check it right now, because they talked about it. He spoke about it even after the match was over, how Mighty Mouse beat Anderson Silva's record. They were both tied at 9.
That's fine.
Title defenses.
But Mighty Mouse beat it at 10. At the end of the day, Mike, yes, the second longest. You are right. But who else in the flyweight division in the UFC did Mighty Mouse ever had? In fact,
everybody. He's beat everybody.
Hold on a second. He will never come across a Chris Weidman in the middleweight division that he would in the flyweight division. And you know I am right about that.
I'm going to tell you what I call bull crap on that, Hugo, because I remember distinctively, and earlier I used a big word that some might not say it's a big word, but it's the first time I've used that word, so therefore it's a big word, distinctively, that when that fight happened, you called crap, and I can't say what you really called, because you thought Anderson Silva, you being
Micah,
the Colombian
ever,
loving
don't
the Brazilian,
ever hear me. Micah,
you,
by the way.
You, 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 You did not go for Chris Weidman, and when that happened, you called bullcrap. When it happened the second time, you called bullcrap. Both times,
you
went for Anderson Silva.
At the end of the day, he's a formidable opponent. He was.
What you're saying, though, but Hugo, I'm gonna tell you where there's a flaw in your plan. But there's a, but here's where there's a flaw in your plan, and I'm gonna leave that right there. We're gonna move on. Here's why there's a flaw in your plan. Because the same thing you're saying about Mighty Mouse Johnson, people have said about Floyd Mayweather. So you can't love one and not love the other. Just say you don't like the guy. Just say you're not a fan of the guy. But to keep continuing to discredit the guy, it doesn't come off professionally the best thing for you, brother. Because people make the same argument for Floyd Mayweather, for Roy Jones Jr. You can only fight who's there. It's not your fault that everybody who they thought was good, including Dobson, I can't name them all right now. There's been plenty of flyweights that people thought was going to be that guy that he just made look that stupid. Floyd made people look that stupid. Now, without a break, because I got breath in between, we got 15 minutes. Raw and SmackDown are the next 2 days. But before we talk about Raw and SmackDown, I got to get this out of my chest one more time because I'm on a roll. Am I the only person that doesn't understand the fans of professional wrestling and why it was such an uproar?
I don't understand. I do not understand your UFC, by the way. Just want to let you know that right now. I don't understand your UFC enthusiasm, but I agree with you with the wrestling fans, by the way.
I don't understand that picture that came out with all them over in Rome, and everybody said, Roman and they're ruining the program. People, stop it. Do you really think Undertaker and Kane were really brothers? Do you really think that one man Bane lives in a trailer park? That he lives in a trailer park right now? Is this what you really, really think? Do you really think this? So that wrestling is predetermined. That I hate the word fake, and I hate people say it. I will never say wrestling fake because it's not. But it's scripted. Okay, it's scripted. And you know damn well that behind curtains, these guys get along. So why the hell did Dave Metzger, why the hell did everybody get their panties in their arse? And yeah, if I see you got on panties, guess who wears panties? Girls, okay? So why do you all got a bunch of red panties on like you're hanging with Conor McGregor, okay? And mad about the fact this picture came out about them over in Rome. Who gives two shakes of a dog's tail? That doesn't mess up the program for me. Because the storyline, dummy. All right, I had to get that out. Because it was everywhere this week. You know it was. Everywhere you look, every wrestling group, every Twitter account, everybody made a big deal about this picture. Talking about the Iron Sheik. I've never seen a picture back then that Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan took a picture together. Nobody complained.
Mike, perfect Flex Talks Radio, right? It has nothing to do. We are the intelligent wrestling fans. We don't look at dirty to do. What are you talking about? Honestly.
Well, you know what? It wasn't even the dirt. Listen, some things you can't help to have happen because of the social media world that we're a part of. So I didn't go to the dirt sheets and look. And this wasn't even a dirt sheet really thing. This was a Twitter thing. This was big news. This was Ali Davis and the Wrestling Talk TV. This was everywhere you looked. It was a big deal about this photo that them over in Rome, because they're on the European tour. That fans, not fans, like this is guys like you and me, not like you and me because we smarter than this, you know what I mean? But fans really got upset by this. And I just don't understand it. Michael, were you upset by it? Did you saw the backlash all this took over the weekend? I didn't understand it. Maybe I'm off.
Well, no, I'm not. Well, it's just like you said. It's just like I was saying. It's still real to me. Undertaker and Kane are brothers, and John Cena's actually a real Marine. You know, this is what we talk about all the time, right? Like, if you have a serious storyline that's going on, like let's say Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman injured, right? Here's one thing that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't have them wrestle a match at a live show and Roman Reigns or he comes out and interferes in the match. Maybe you shouldn't let them wrestle a live show. Maybe that right there, as far as the actual wrestling storyline related, okay. But you can be injured to be in Rome and hang out. It's okay. You can be injured in a Roman hangout. It's not that big of a deal. The only times where I actually feel that way, Mike, when I'm actually that incensed about it, is if it doesn't make sense to the story. That's all I'm saying. If it makes sense to the story, if it makes one that we were talking about earlier, Ball said, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. I mean, we know he stole that from a rapper. So, you know, that's all I'm saying. I didn't care. It's a picture with wrestlers. Now, here's what I will care about.
Okay, go ahead.
If Titus gets backstage heat because of that, then I'm really mad about. Then I'll be really mad because Titus shouldn't be getting no daggone backstage heat for that. Okay, he already got enough heat and got buried beneath because this man don't know how to take a hug, but he know how to do things with guys in the office. But when a dude tries to show him affection, he wants to get offended when
he's getting sued by $1.2 million by a former cameraman from a stunt gone wrong on that so-called swerve, where
yeah,
he did not care, but.
That's also
not fair. What's going on with Titus O'Neil as well with that? But yeah, if Titus gets backlash for this, this is definitely wrong. But real fast, Hugo, tonight Raw. What do you want to see tonight? I mean, to me,
really?
I know you're, before.
Are the, you really asking
well,
me?
You know, because I personally think since the shakeup, only
women,
since
women,
the shakeup.
Women.
I thought Raw has been better than SmackDown since the shakeup.
You're wrong.
I'm not wrong. It's
never.
My opinion. I can't be wrong.
Right, because
it's my opinion.
Right, because you like The Miz? Because you like The Miz? That's why.
No, because it's my opinion. I'm
I know
just saying,
it's your opinion.
Well, first of all,
I don't think
The Miz should be on Raw, personally. I think that was a bad move, and I think – so I don't personally
you're
like
right.
that move. I think he should have stayed on SmackDown. But I'm saying, to me – Because they had the pay-per-view, right? So they had a little bit more time given to their stories. To me, Raw has come off as a better show. With everything with Bray, with everything with Finn Balor, the one contenders match they had last week. I've been loving Raw, and I'm excited for Raw tonight.
Okay.
Tell me no one more time. I'm going to stand with Wiki your ass from the bus.
Really? Wait, you're wrong. I just want to say that I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong, by the way. Because SmackDown has the better talent. They have the better storyline.
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong.
Okay, good. Good for you.
You're wrong.
I think you're wrong.
You're wrong.
By the way, I think
you're
wrong, and you think I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I think you're both wrong. Micah, let me tell you something. You've been to a wrestling event with Mike Knox, right?
Yes.
Okay. I've been too. WrestleMania with Mike Knox, it's his way or the highway. Like, we can't even talk about wrestling if we're a wrestling.
No, hold on there.
I said, Micah, I said WrestleMania.
And that's a lie. Speaking of WrestleMania, Speaking of WrestleMania, I'm driving past World Campaign right
you.
Now. Just wanted to bring it up. I'm driving past World Camp Stadium right now. That's all. Just wanted to bring it up. Go ahead, Hugo.
So, all right, back to you, Hugo. Attitude of Wiki. Hugo. Yes.
Am I on timeout?
I have to put you on timeout. I couldn't finish.
We got. Give me 20 seconds. Just go.
I need 45.
Mike Knox. WrestleMania will be in Florida once again in 4 years. You live in the Sunshine State now.
Really?
4 years, WrestleMania time will be here. If you come down to Miami, you better not have the same mentality in Miami. That's all I got to say.
Since you want to put our stuff out there on air. Raw's not important right now. Hugo had too many adult beverages. Okay.
You
thought I was acting a certain way, and I truly wasn't. When I meant wrestling, to me, I cheer and I boo for any and every, just like I cheer with you guys on the radio. It's all fun for me. I can care
he did,
less.
He did. Real talk.
You know,
actually, I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. Michael will attest to it. If you guys get to
experience a wrestling event with Mike Knox. We'll have a fun time no matter what. But anyway, Raw tonight, I like the women, Mike. You already know I like the women. I love it. I want to see what's going to go on with Bayley, Alexa Bliss, because I think Alexa Bliss is amazing.
Ooh,
and thank you.
I got a new picture for you.
You.
I got a new picture for you to
no,
see
no, no.
about
thank
her.
You for
got,
opening oh. my eyes, but I am so excited to see Alexa Bliss. And at the end of the day, so Joe Rollins feuding still, next pay-per-view. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, they're not going anywhere. That's one of the reasons why I think in Raw is better. You got the whole Braun and Roman situation. You got Joe and Seth.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Braun.
You got the tag team division right now with the turn. I guess if you can call it that. I mean, anybody didn't see that coming. They don't know watch wrestling. With Sheamus and Cesaro, I just really think and maybe you know what? I apologize for saying one's better than the other because I've hated it when you guys have said it. Right now, wrestling's in a great place, no matter what brand you prefer. Okay, I like them both. I like them both equally. But lately, I think Raw has delivered where they may not have delivered prior to WrestleMania. You know what I mean? So where Raw has lacked, maybe SmackDown has given that proverbial kick in the ass to make them a better show. You know what I mean? So, but with everything that Raw is doing, it's not all that I can say I don't fast forward. I'm not really fast forwarding through Raw like I used to. And we're talking 3 hours here.
Right.
So, you know, that's what you have there. Michael, real fast, we got to get out of here. And I want to talk to you guys about something before we got out of here on the secure line, on the bat phone. So, Michael, Raw tonight, what you think, man? What are you excited for? Hugo want to see the women, Alexa Bliss. I got some really good pictures for you, Hugo, of that. Me, I'm just excited about the whole – really, I really do got some good pictures. Oh, my. They're not nudes, though. So, but
– No, it's fine.
Pictures.
It's fine.
But – Micah, what you looking forward to tonight, my brother?
Well, the main thing I'm looking forward to tonight is just to see how they're going to be able to get Finn Balor interested in him again and get him reestablished, just to make sure that he gets the star power that he once captured when he came and he captured that Universal title. I enjoyed everything that's been going on with the Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns feud. I know it's going to keep on going. And once again, if this is one of those feuds where Roman can lose his feud, it's okay for him to lose his feud. It's not going to hurt who he is or what the company believes in him. So as far as wins and losses when it comes to this particular feud, they gave Braun Strowman a questionable win. Hopefully after this, they can really establish him as a main guy when it comes to being one of the top contenders for that title. Samoa Joe, Seth Rollins is gold. That's been fantastic. But the one thing I'm glad that WWE is doing, and it's probably because the Hardy Boys are there, is establishing the tag team division again. The tag team division was lackluster. It didn't have any meaning to it. You know, the club got the championship, and it was like, eh, so what? Who cares? Nerds? Oh, okay, whatever. So now we actually have some meaning. Sheamus and Cesaro are actually the guys they should be, you know, because their style fits guys who don't smile. And I'm going to enjoy that way more than, you know, the happy-go-lucky Sheamus and Cesaro that he had, you know, 007, all that crap. So so that's what I'm most excited about, really, the tag team division and exploring that, Mike. That's what I'm excited about most.
Best and worst of the weekend.
Yeah,
and worst of the weekend.
We got 2 minutes. So what's up with you? I'm trying to play the song, but we can't. So what's up with you? Best and
no
worst
biggie.
Of the weekend, Mike.
Best of the weekend, honestly, was just my daughter came home yesterday, got to pick her up. Low-key, I kind of missed her. Worst of the weekend to me was the one-sided fight. Not because I didn't think it was a good fight from a Canelo fan standpoint, but I was sold on a fake bill of goods that Chavo Jr., who I never had faith in, just like his father was trash, in my opinion, sold me a fake bill of goods. I don't ever want anybody ever to tell me again that Mexican fighters have the biggest heart, because that guy did not show any heart on Saturday. That's the best and worst for me, guys.
I agree with you. All right, so let me tell you really quick. Best of the weekend, well, 60 seconds, I know. So best of the weekend, at the end of the day, I think it was Canelo. I think Canelo right now, pound for pound, the best fighter right now, to me, again. That's the best of the weekend. The worst of the weekend was Chelsea, man. Chelsea already wrapped up the Premier League with 3 weekends to go, Mike. What's up with that? Micah, what do you got? Best and worst of the weekend, my man.
Best of the weekend has been this Boston and Winter Series. Worst of the weekend is me not actually making money. I like to make money on the weekend. We got to figure that out. So we got to fix that. All right? We got to fix that. Definitely got to fix that.
All right, Mike. All right, Mike. Close us out.
Looks like that's the case. Looks like I got to take care of it. Well, in the words of Mike Knox, I can't do what he does. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself that you love me some me and don't love God.
I love
crazy.
Me some me and don't love God.
All right, guys, we out.
Peace.